celebrating 10 years of unparalleled medical information with world-class doctors and nurses from the NYU Langone Medical Center. This is SiriusXM Doctor Radio.
Welcome back, as I said to us here on Doctor Radio, SiriusXM 110. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She's been on the show many times, and she always has such great information, and I'm often referring to her, Caroline Blazovsky. She is known as America's Healthy Home Expert for over 17 years, and she helps homeowners and physicians diagnose problems that may be lurking in your home. She's developed a national reputation as one of the top home consultants in the country. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Samantha. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. This is such a perfect time to talk to you. It's a holiday weekend, and in the beginning of the show, I had a guest on. We were talking about part of the way Passover is celebrated is by cleaning out your whole kitchen, like doing a kitchen cleanse. And it sort of like goes along with spring cleaning. And I think on the air, it was last week, I referred someone to you who was saying, I've tried everything. I'm still not feeling well. No one knows what's wrong with me. I'm like, you need to call Caroline, because your home could have all kinds of stuff going on in it that's making you sick, and we can be completely unaware of that.
Absolutely. And we're talking, it's Public Health Week. National Public Health Week is April 2nd through the 8th. So we're encouraging people to tag us. I'd like to see people getting healthy in their homes. So if you're doing cleaning, or you're out changing your changing filters, or doing gutters, I want people to tag us in photos for Instagram, so they can tag Healthy Home Expert, and it's just to promote health for Public Health Week, which again is next week, and to get people moving, like you said, and doing stuff for their health, and then also for wellness.
I should have taken a picture of the two bathrooms I cleaned this morning and tagged you. Because really, that's what I was doing early this morning, is cleaning the bathroom so I didn't have to do it over the weekend. My hands still smell like cleaner. I didn't want to say. I know. No. I don't use scented stuff.
Good.
No. And I learned that from you, because let's reiterate that as we talk about things. We have this horrible old cupboardy thing that my husband had all these scented candles in, and they'd been there for years and they were horrible. So I threw them all out, but it still smells like perfumey.
It does, and that just shows you,
yeah,
you know, people, that it's these things stay around for indefinite periods of time. I have the same issue in my home with a cabinet that when I purchased the home, somebody used cologne.
Oh.
And it, you know, no matter what I've done, I've scrubbed it with vinegar and water, you really can't get it out. And sometimes you just have to replace the cabinets.
Yeah, I think I might have to do that. It's a good excuse to, anyway. I don't like it. Honey, we need a new cabinet. I don't want to say I don't like it, because you're the one who got it years ago, before me, pre-me. But those, I'm so aware now, not only, I mean, partly in my life working in hospitals, we're not allowed to wear things like perfume. So I stopped wearing any scented things like that many, many years ago. But from talking with you on the show and listening to your expert advice, I've stopped buying scented, you know, anything in my home. There's still some scented things there, but I'm going through them slowly, because those VOCs, volatile organic compounds, tell us why that's a problem.
Well, VOCs come from natural things, and they also come from unnatural things.
Mm-hmm.
So when these chemicals add up, they basically can tax the body. So I use it as an example. If I took Samantha and I put you in 3 feet of snow, and then I said, I'm not going to give you water and I'm not going to give you food, what's going to happen to you? You're still going to be Samantha. You're going to be trying to move and go and do the things that you wanted to, but you're going to be inhibited. And that's the same thing that volatile organics do to us. They inhibit us. It's not that the body isn't functioning properly. It's just extra stuff that's sort of weighing you down. And what it can also do is promote inflammation in the body, right, which we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, in some cases, a lot of these things can be carcinogenic.
Right.
So the combination of them, and the higher they are, the worse they are. So we have a level, like we like to see people under 500 nanograms per liter. And, you know, that's the scientific jargon.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we like to see people, especially if you have a chronic condition, asthma, allergies, fibromyalgia, any kind of autoimmune disease, cancer, you want that number as low as possible, just so the body's not as taxed.
Now, let's talk about how our homes can affect our bodies and how that may manifest in our bodies. You can have symptoms of fatigue, maybe stuffy nose, maybe swollen or uncomfortable muscles or joints, aches and pains, poor sleep. And then we go to the doctor and say, do we have a thyroid issue? Am I sick? Do I have Lyme disease? Do I have, God forbid, cancer? And then they can't find anything. What else could be causing that? You're suggesting sometimes these, all of these highly scented products, whether it's hair products or bath products or laundry detergents or paints, whether it's a quote unquote natural scent or a manufactured scent, can all somehow affect our bodies and manifest in those ways. Is that right?
Correct. And it goes back, and that's why I use this analogy of if you were in a lot of snow and you were trying to move in the snow, and then what would happen? Your body would ache. You'd be trying to move, but you couldn't go. And it's not that your body's not functioning. It's that it's inhibited. So these things like proteins, which are cat, dog, maybe peanut, then we have mold proteins, and then we have these volatile organic compounds we talk about, the chemicals. Then we have things in our house like dust and dander and skin cells. All of these things make what I call a trifecta, right? Our bodies are resilient. They can handle lots of different things. But when these things pile up, that trifecta is what slows us down and can contribute to all these, what I call sort of nondescript symptoms. Yeah. And that's what we find now when I work with physicians, and we have a lot of clients who have these symptoms. When I go in, we see these trifectas occurring over and over again, and with serious conditions too, like cancer, and also with people with autoimmune disease. You'll see these multiple factors. So what my job is to kind of eliminate those and give the body sort of a break and to see if it can, you know, correct itself.
And you do that by how?
Reducing the volatiles is a perfect example. So if we know you have 2,000, we're going to reduce what we see in the sample. So I can tell when I take a sample in your home if you're using bacterial wipes, if you're storing wine in the house. And these are things that are just benign to us. We don't think people store wine all the time. And I'm talking about drinkable, you know, actual have a glass of wine. And people think, well, how does that affect me? Those bottles actually outgas. The air doesn't come into the bottle, otherwise it would go bad, but it escapes out. So you get tannins, you get all of these scents, you get all these chemicals that come off different things in your home. And when that number gets too high, it's my job to come in and look at it and say, okay, let's reduce some of this and see if symptoms improve.
So this is making me think, I actually have a friend who has a wine cellar that's that's capable of holding 3,000 bottles of wine. And I looked at him and said, why does anybody need that? But he says he's got like 1,000 bottles of wine. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that they outgas. That never would have occurred to me.
No, and it's kind of a weird concept because we think, how can this happen, right? Because if you get air into a bottle of wine,
it's gonna go
what
bad.
Happens? It would go bad, right? And people go, well, there's no air getting in. But what they're not thinking about is the air coming out. The whole point of the cork, right, is to allow air out. So otherwise, I guess the bottle would explode. I'm not a winemaker, but I know enough that when I've been to places where they make alcohol, they always have a vent, right? So a portion of it escapes. You get the tannins. And if you drink a lot of wine, too, you'll get these in your sample. And I see them all the time. And it's very common for people to store a lot of wine. They think it's benign, but in reality, it's adding to your VOCs. It's just one of the things, you know, outside of all the personal care products, all the cleaners, if you're storing paint in the house, if you have gasoline. And these numbers really easily get to an excessive level. It's not hard to do. And if you're not ventilating, and then, of course, if you have children, you know, living above a garage where they're getting a lot of these fertilizers, pesticides, carcinogens off the car, anything that's building up, they can get that in their bedroom. And then we see kids with learning disabilities.
We
see that improve when we reduce the VOCs.
So the VOCs come from many sources, and we can eliminate many of those sources to lower the level of those VOCs in our homes, but maybe not the wine. So maybe I don't want to do that.
And you're allowed to have some things.
I think I've only got 3 bottles of wine at home, but yeah.
But you're allowed to have some things. You know, I don't want people to think they have to live bare bones. The body can handle certain amounts. It's when things get in excess that we have to worry. And when there's too much of many things, like pesticides, VOCs, dander, cats, all this stuff, then we really start to say, you got to, you know, pick and choose what you're going to have.
This time of year, it's springtime all over the country, even though, you know, in the South, they've had pretty, you know, warm weather, unlike those of us here in the Northeast. And apparently there's snow coming. I shouldn't have even said that out loud, because today's a beautiful day. The sun just came out. I'm sitting in the lobby of NYU Langone Health. I can actually look out on First Avenue and see the sun coming out. And it's a beautiful warm day today compared to what we've had. What are some of the best ways to do our spring cleaning? What are some of the areas in the house we want to target, and how do we target them?
I think the first thing to do is do your windows and do screens.
Why are you telling me that? I can't reach half my windows. Oh, I wanted something easy. I did the bathroom. Doesn't that count? Okay, windows. No, but that's a great idea. Keep going.
So the windows, but mostly, you know, the screen, because people always, I see people do their windows a lot and they forget to wipe the screen. And if you ever take just a damp rag to a screen, it'll be covered with black particulate and debris, and that's where your air is coming in. So you really need to make sure you do your screens. That's really important to
me. Can you just spray them down with a hose?
Yeah, you can spray them down, but usually wiping them down, you know, just taking some paper towel and just, you know, scrubbing them down really gets all that kind of black debris, you know, particulate and debris off.
Okay.
So that's my first thing. You're going to open the windows, make sure your screens are clean, because the air is going to be flowing through that. You don't want dirty air coming
in. That's a great idea.
So that's the first thing. The second thing, of course, if you live in a residential home, you've got to look at gutter issues and making sure that all your gutters are cleaned out. We go into spring and we get, you know, big rainfalls that can overflow the gutter, and you have to make sure everything is cleaned out, the debris out, there aren't any nests.
Because it it also rots. It gets gooey and yucky in those gutters.
Yeah, you get mold.
Fungus.
You get mold. So that needs to be cleaned out. And then the other thing that I'm a real stickler about and people often forget is the air conditioner compressor that's outside. So people always say, okay, I'm going to have my air conditioning service, which is a must for coming into the season. You've got to change your filters and have your air conditioning coil serviced and clean so you don't have mold on the coil, mold in the drip pan. Your drip pan doesn't block up with calcium, and, you know, as it, you know, as it goes through a season, you get all this debris that builds up. So you need to clean that out prior to, you know, air conditioning season. So this is a great time to do it. But the outside compressor, you have to go in there and clean that out as well. It's a fan. Debris gets down into the fan, which can block it up. But also the animals and little mice love to get in there and make nests, and they can really wreak havoc on your outside compressor and condenser.
So is this something that you have to have an HVAC person come in and do, or can you clean your own sort of outdoor fan easily?
Yeah, you can take the door off. I mean, some people don't feel comfortable, and you obviously, when they're servicing it, they're going to look at the outside unit too. So have them look at that. And, you know, when they're there, what I do is when my air conditioning HVAC person comes, I have them pull it off, and I have my shop vac right there, and I just vacuum out all the debris that gets in there and try to keep it clean.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember them when they come and look at, because like the central air thing that's outside that you're talking about, I don't remember them ever taking anything off and looking inside of it. Maybe they did.
Yeah, they go and they check your capacitor, which is out there. They hook up an electrical, you know, they're checking to make sure you're electrically running correctly. And then they'll also, they'll check your Freon. So, yes, they do it. You probably just don't even realize. They kind of sneak out there and do it when you're not looking.
Okay. I always follow them around usually, but I guess I missed that part of it. But that's a great idea. So indoor air conditioners, change your filter, clean it out. Your outdoor, you know, compressors, if you have central air, you or have someone come, you need to get it checked and serviced. Clean the coil. Make sure that there's nests or little critters in there. Clean the fan, and you're good to go with that.
Correct. And, and the windows.
And the windows and the screens. And what's next then?
So then we've got the gutters. You know, then you start to look at, you know, you're going to be doing some treatments on the lawn, and I try to really encourage people, like, don't be using, you know, these really
pesticides, heavy
carcinogenic things like glyphosate. You know, we hear about Roundup. California's been on this, and they've been basically getting them to put a warning label on it. So we know that these are potential carcinogens, so really try to stick to more organic, you know, soil. You can use some natural fertilizer. You can use leaves. You know, the best thing at the end of the season when you go out of the fall, chop up your leaves. Don't, you know, push them to the curb and have somebody come pick them up. Actually chop them up and use them as fertilizer. It's the best thing. So then when the spring comes, you're going to have a nice green lawn.
You know, I have a teeny tiny lawn. I mean, I think it's 0.14 of an acre. I mean, and the front of it is kind of gravelly and ledgy. So I don't have much of a lawn, but my sister plants this gorgeous garden for us every year. And we don't use any pesticides, any weed killer, nothing, and it's still gorgeous. And I personally don't mind a few dandelions. I actually like dandelions. I think they're very perky and pretty. But then I see, you know, my neighbors who are right next door, they have these signs stuck in their yard by their lawn care people, and it's that yellow sign with the black circle with the line through it saying, no, don't let kids and pets on this yard for, you know, 24 hours, whatever it is. Why would you put something on your yard that's going to be poisonous to an animal or a child or person walking across that yard? I have an issue with that.
And then they're going to track it in, because most people don't wear house shoes like I recommend. So they're walking in that, and then they're bringing all that pesticide in the house and or fertilizer. And it's just really, you know, it's toxic. And the fact of the matter is that you don't need it. It's the same thing. I have a beautiful lawn, and I have more acreage than you do.
You know, most people do.
But it's beautiful, and it's a misconception. We've been taught, you know, through media, through advertising, that somehow to have a beautiful lawn, you need to spray chemicals on it. It's not true.
I'll tell you a story, and what I'm saying is very anecdotal. I have no proof. I have nothing except I'm wondering. I know two guys who are now, you know, I guess in their late 50s, early 60s, and they grew up in a town, and they were friends, and they spent a lot of time on golf courses, you know, working as caddies, and they worked in the local gas station, and they both sort of shadowed, you know, they hung out a lot together, and you know they remember standing in their yards because their dad told them they had to spray all these pesticides in their yards. And now they both have three different types of blood cancer, of lymphomas.
Yeah.
And while I can't say that it's related to anything that I've just said, we're kind of wondering, because they both have unusual cases of sort of rare combinations or rare manifestations of this kind of cancer. And we're thinking, gosh, you know, this is just weird.
Yeah, and it's not really weird. I mean, like, just hearing what you're saying, right? You're saying they worked in a gas station. Mm-hmm. They also worked around pesticide. Yeah. We know that these things, glyphosate, it's, you know, California has been saying that it needs the label on it, and that it's carcinogenic. And there's been so many documented cases of, I believe it's leukemia. It's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's one of the two.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm talking about non-Hodgkin's B cell lymphoma, and another kind of lymphoma called mantle cell lymphoma. And then there's another kind of lymphoma that starts on the skin and moves to the blood. But unusual combinations of those. So it could easily have been that then.
Yeah. Ugh, and look, they were exposed to a lot of carcinogens, and that's why when I test homes, that's why I encourage people. You don't know what you have until you really test it. These things are invisible. So you may be accidentally poisoning yourself by storing this in your garage, and you don't know. So to me, know what you have, and then you can make educated decisions about what to do. I present the information to you and say, look, here's what you have. It's up to you to make the choice now.
And cleaning a garage. This is a good time of year to clean out that garage if you have one.
Yeah.
Or basement, right? Or attic.
Absolutely. And get rid of those paint cans. People, I'm always on you. No more paint cans stored in the house. They leak. You will be breathing in all kinds of volatile organics that are unnecessary, and those levels get exceedingly high very fast. And you cannot store them. I know people want to. I may let you get away with one, but for the most part, no paint cans in the house. No storage.
Use
the paint up.
Maybe one, and then either use it up, or because you can't send it to the garbage and you can't recycle it, they say to put kitty litter in it. So it soaks it up, and then you can then discard it. These are just all such great ideas. Basements have mold. You always said check for unanticipated areas where the basement might be leaking.
Right. And this time
pipes,
of year,
anywhere.
Everybody needs, you have a basement, you need a dehumidifier. So this is the time of year that the dehumidifiers go on. You have to make sure that you're keeping your relative humidity between 30 and 50% in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You want to open the windows. We all do, because it's beautiful out, but you're going to bring in humidity, and that can cause all kinds of issues. So you need to make sure that you're keeping relative humidity inside the house between 30 and 50%. Get a little monitor, go to Home Depot, pick up a cheap, you know, $10, nothing crazy. Go to one of the hardware stores and monitor your relative humidity in the house. It's going to keep bugs away, dust mites away, mold away. So if you stay within that range, I'm telling you, you're going to have a healthier home. And it's easy.
One other quick question, and because we're running out of time, and it's so much fun to talk to you. When people this time of year, they see ants coming in their home, different shapes and sizes, or bugs coming in, and they immediately want to call the exterminator, what do you tell them to do?
And this is back to the relative humidity issue. Mm-hmm. Bugs are just like people. They need food, air, and water. You cut off their food sources or their water source, they're not going to come in. So you have to be really vigilant, especially with the sugar ants this time of year. Mm-hmm. Just, they're going to want to come in. Don't leave food out. You really have to be more vigilant about the crumbs. And then, of course, controlling the relative humidity. They will not come if they don't have moisture. Same with carpenter ants, same with beetles. Same with silverfish. All of them come for water sources.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to know. I just sweep up the little ants and put them outside and say, please don't come back. And sometimes they listen. We have Jen from Oregon. Jen, we are just about out of time. Do you have a very quick question for Caroline Blazovsky, our healthy home expert?
Yes. See, I have a well house, pump house where my washer and dryer are, and get to there from my house is gravel, except for the grass is growing. And now you're saying I shouldn't be spraying Roundup, so I'm curious what you guys suggest.
To keep the grass from growing in her walkway.
Yeah, so right. I mean, you can try some straight vinegar, which works well. So you can take some vinegar and try using that. And there, believe it or not, you can get higher concentrations of vinegar than you can at a commercial, you know, if you're using a food-grade vinegar. Use the white, try that first, and if it doesn't, you can actually go to a local hardware store and ask for an increased, vinegar, a higher level of the vinegar, and they usually have it, and you can use that, and that'll get rid of it really easy.
I like that suggestion, and then, well, you can't really use it in your salad, but you can use it to clean things, though, right?
Yeah, not the extra strength. The extra strength one is going to be much higher, but that's okay. What you can use as a weed killer.
As a weed killer, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Only
yeah,
as a weed killer.
Right, you wouldn't want to ingest it.
No.
But you can try using the regular, you know, just white distilled vinegar first. Mm-hmm. It may work. It just depends on how strong the weed is and, you know, how it responds to it. But I know it's really challenging, and sometimes I hire someone actually to come and do my walkway and pick the weeds when I don't have time to do it. And, you find people to do it, or you go out there and do it yourself. But
it's good exercise.
Please don't use the glyphosate.
Don't use Roundup and those other pesticides. Okay, Jen, I hope that's helpful for you. Get some vinegar and use that on the walkway, and it's better for you and the animals and the whole environment as well. So thank you for that tip and for giving us a call. I appreciate that. Caroline Blazovsky, do you have just a final quick thought you want to share with our listeners today?
No, just like Public Health Week is here, so please do something healthy this week. And, you know, it can be for exercise, it could be nutrition-wise, it could be in your home, but just try to get used to improving wellness in any way you can. And we'd love to have you send us a picture, so definitely on Instagram, hit us up at Healthy Home Expert and tag us and let us see what you're doing to get healthy.
Healthy Home Expert, check it out, folks. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And folks, it's the weekend. It's Passover. It's Easter. It's going to be at least a nice weekend in some parts of the country. So take a deep breath every day. And I don't mean to sound too woo-woo, but every day has a gift to offer. So what went well today? Someone was nice to you. You had a nice conversation with someone. You